financial update in the bulletin as well. It's worth a read through to understand where we are financially as a church. As we said last Sunday, we are in difficult times, difficult circumstances, and some challenging decisions are going to have to be made in the weeks and months ahead. So pray about your own contribution and financial support of Christian Baptist Church, and where God is calling you to support that. Welcome back, Hepzibah. Lovely to see you. How was India?
Good.
Glad you came back. That's welcome. That's welcome, Hepzibah. And you brought Mahendra back with you? Good plan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Maybe this will make you a little more upbeat, myself included. Psalm 95, a familiar verse for us this morning. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And I was reading this morning, and I was just kind of, I was actually like by myself this morning because all the other people are on a bike ride. So I was alone in my house with me and my cup of tea this morning, which is a very rare occurrence. But as I was reading this morning, I was kind of trying to picture what that would look like. Just sort of thinking about God and all his glory and greatness, kind of, and the great expanse of the universe, space, and just seeing these hands with like a lump of clay, kind of, if you want to. That's what I was thinking about anyway. But like, and then just forming the earth and the planets, and I don't know, it was just kind of an interesting visual that came to mind as I was reading that this morning. But he formed everything. He made the earth, the sea, the land, everything. So come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people that he also created of his pasture, the flock under his care. So this morning, as we are gathered here in this place and this particular time that is set apart, we are here to worship a great and amazing, glorious God who made the earth and everything in it, including each one of us that are here today. And no matter what kind of mood you're in this morning or what kind of week you might have had, we're here together and we're all struggling with something. We're all trying to just get through this life here. Okay, Acts 17, verses 24 to 28 says, I can find it. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come to bow down and to worship you. Lord, we pray that it would be, that you would touch each one here as we join our hearts and our minds in worship. And we pray that you would search each of our hearts and that you would show your love and your face to each one here. Pray that you would be with us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We continue in our time of worship this morning. Giving to the kingdom work is an act of worship. Ask our ushers now to come forward and take up our tithes conference. Father God, as an act of worship to you and in support of your kingdom work here and beyond, we ask you to receive these, our tithes and our offerings. We ask you to bless them, multiply them, show us how to use them wisely for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chair of our Deacons Board, George Meisner, to come forward, and we're going to ask Lindsay to come up to the platform, please. Lindsay was voted in as a new member of our congregation. She's been attending here for some time and has asked to become a member of Christian Baptist Church, which is always a blessing.
I'd like to welcome Lindsay into our membership. We have heard her testimony, as I mentioned last week, and I'm just so delighted that she's alive, a vibrant believer, not for her faults, but she was told us. So on behalf of the Deacons Committee and of this congregation, Lindsay, I'd like to welcome you and hope that you have been good years with us.
Here's your official certificate of membership in Christian Baptist Church. I'd like to give you this Black Principles daily Bible readings to bless you in your membership of Christian Baptist Church. Let me pray with you. Father God, we give you thanks for all of our membership. And Lord, we give you thanks for bringing Lindsay to us. That she's come here, she's felt the love that we have for her and for each other. And she wants to be part of that, to share in that. So Lord, we ask you now to bless her, fill her with your Holy Spirit, and guide her into your service here at Christian Baptist Church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, George. George, you want to stay around for the children's moment? Do we have any children who want to come forward? Isaac, are you coming forward?
It's not often that I have an audience of one, unless it's my wife, and she always listens intently, as you can all imagine. Isaac, do you know what this is? What's that? Have you ever seen one of those? For those of you who can't see this, this is a rainbow. And I'd like to use the rainbow as a symbol this morning, because way back in time, God decided, the one that Rhiannon said, created the entire universe, the world, and all the people in it. I'm just going to put this over here. He decided that things weren't going very well. And one day he spoke to Noah, and said, "No, I want you to make me, thank you, I'll have some later." He said, "I want you to build me a great big ship so I can take all the animals and your family when I flood the earth." He decided he was going to get rid of all the people and all the animals that really weren't worshiping him. And God is very beautiful. And the creation that he had made was so beautiful that he decided it just wasn't worth continuing with mankind, because they were just ruining his creation. They were polluting it, they were killing each other, torturing each other, and really all kinds of unimaginable things. So he brought this huge flood that covered all the earth. Do you know what a flood is, Isaac? Do you know what a flood is? It's lots of water. The rain came down from the heavens, and the rain piled up into a great big ocean, and the fountains of the deep were released, and the springs sprung up, and for almost a year, the world was just covered, the entire world, with water. I'll have one later. Thank you. But at the end of the flood, God said to Noah that it's time to get out of the boat and replenish the earth. And one of the things that he did to show Noah and his family that he meant what he said, he made a promise that he would never ever do this again by means of a flood. He would not destroy the world by a flood. He put a rainbow in the sky. And he said, that's my covenant to you, your family, and to all of the animals. So God valued animals as well. So this is what we're looking at today in Pastor Keith's sermon, is God's promises. Can we pray? Do you want to close your eyes and we'll pray? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the creator God of the entire universe and of this planet in particular. Thank you that you have made humans to worship you with that God-implanted desire for beauty and for infinity. We pray that you would help us to focus on your promise of a new beginning through Christ. And we pray that you be with Isaac and his time today, and also with Mandy as she raises him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to go downstairs?
Lord, who would you have me vote for in my riding? Who would you have us vote for in our particular areas? Lord, we know that you are sovereign, you are king over all, and you put human governments in place for your purposes. And you rise up kings and you put them down. You rise up nations and you put them down. Lord, we pray that our nation will be a nation of godly leaders, men and women, who lead according to your word. And also guide us this week as we go to the election for Ontario. Lord, we pray for our assembly. CDMU Assembly, Lord. 360 plus churches, independent churches. We come together under one banner. Our Baptist distinctivism, authority of Scripture, autonomy of the local church, soul liberty. No one needs to be coerced to believe anything. And Lord, as we gather this week, Lord, bless us with your Holy Spirit, with wisdom for any elections, any votes that we have to make this week too. Lord, we pray for Lois McQueen, Anne Marie's mother, Stephen's mother-in-law. Lord, she has continues in declining health. Lord, give Anne Marie and Stephen wisdom, and courage, and patience, and the strength to care for her appropriately and make the wise decisions for her ongoing care. Does anybody have a particular prayer request this morning?
There's a street festival in Aurora, and the gathering place is giving out tracts. I just pray that their ministry would be effective in reaching people at the festival today.
Lord, you heard Matthew's prayer there that the street festival in Aurora and the gathering place will be handing out biblical tracts. Lord, we ask that that ministry will be effective in many lives.
I'd like to give thanks to the answered prayer a couple of times that I was that been praying over the last several months and even years, and I'm very grateful for that. I've also asked for prayers for a family, member, she's in her 90s, and she's had an ongoing infection in her throat. And they've been treating her for this over the last year unsuccessfully. She had one more treatment that they're giving her, kind of treatment, hopefully that will clear up. But they're going, other than that, we'll have to amputate her leg, and otherwise she'll die from infection. So I just asked her for her name's Erica.
What's the person's name?
Erica.
Erica? Thank you, Janice. Lord, you heard what's on Janice's heart and members of her family. Lord, we just pray for your touch of healing on Erica, Lord, and you know exactly what's going on in her body and her legs. And Lord, so we ask you just to bring healing. Lord, we pray boldly for a miracle of healing in Erica's life. And Lord, we pray for peace and comfort in the family. Lord, we just ask you to fill that family with your presence, and the knowledge of your love, and the power of your Spirit working in them all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have another prayer request there. Yep.
May you start sacred and
Yes, my bad, I forgot that. Lord, we give you thanks that you answered our prayer and you brought Mahendra and Hepzibah back safely from India to our family here in Newmarket Christian Baptist. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for Hepzibah's time with family and the time with Hepzibah and Mahendra to be together for a few weeks in India. Lord, we give you thanks that you brought them home to us. And we just pray that you will bless them now in the weeks and months ahead as they make decisions around where they're going to be living and housing. And then we just ask you to bless them. Yes, George.
Praise the Lord, as you can hear him. And thanks to all the congregation and family for their gathering. She's turned a major corner. She's now above feeding. She's much more joyful than me. And also, prayer for me, she's returning from Germany to my 6 feet.
Good. Lord, we give you thanks again for Laura's safe return from her trip to Europe, and we ask you to just. Bless her and give her fond memories of that time away with family. Just bless her in the days ahead. Lord, we pray for George's family, for Catherine and the baby. We ask you to, bless them now, keep the baby healthy. And we pray for Catherine's spirit as she cares, as she moves into being a mother. And all that comes with being a mother for the first time, and all the challenges. Now we pray for their son David, returning from Germany shortly. We ask for safe travels, Lord, and that David will find a wonderful time of fellowship with his family here in Canada. And we just ask you to wrap your arms of love and protection around the whole Meisner family. Bless them, Lord. Pour your Holy Spirit into them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just take a few moments of quietness. Meet with your God. You know what's on your heart. He knows what's on your heart. Meet with him. Determined as a good employee, he was going to deliver this package. He was the only one that was left. So you see this character in the advert going up to the door. When the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years on this desert island all alone, and during the whole time he had kept this package in order to deliver it to her. And she goes, "Oh, thank you. Just thank you." And she turns to go in the house, and he's just standing there after all he's been through. And he says, "Now I'm curious, can you tell me what was in the package? After all, I mean, I was very curious about what's in the package." And in this advert, she opens it and she starts to show him the contents. She says, "Oh, it's nothing really, it's just a satellite telephone, global positioning device, a fishing rod, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." And he stands there aghast that all these things were right there and he didn't use them. And she just goes in and closes the door. Like the contents of that package, the resources that we have for growth and strength and living godly lives are already available. And we already have them. We just don't open the package and use it. Many Christians are living like that. They have all the resources they need to live a godly life, to live the life that God has called them to. But they haven't opened the package to make use of all of the things that we have. We have been given the Holy Spirit. It's an idea, a concept that really needs us to pause and ponder and meditate. That the very God who created the universe now abides in the hearts and spirits of all who believe in Jesus Christ. And we already have that. We don't have to pray for that. It's already, He is already there. Peter talks about this in our main text for today, about the things that we already have. So in 2 Peter chapter 1:1-9, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I'm going to read that again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Peter tells his readers that those of faith in Jesus Christ have already received everything they need. We all have already had everything we need to live this life of godliness. In the Holy Spirit, we already have all the resources. He abides in us. It is a completed work. The verbs that Peter uses in this text are past tense, past perfect, completed action. He has given us all we need. He has given us. It's not like we hope for it, or over time He'll give it to us, or He gives it out in little pieces as He thinks we deserve it. He's already completed that. Each one of us is filled with the capability and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that. It's interesting in Scripture, throughout Scripture we've got a section, if you like, on doctrinal truth or theology or something, and then Paul will use words like therefore. And we should read the therefore. Peter here is using so that. Okay, that's a nice, interesting theological position, we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need. What about it? So that, because there's a reason God does everything. There's a reason God does anything. So that we can participate in the divine nature. There's two things. So that we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. Again and again in the New Testament, we hear of this division. And I talk about it of the two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world that we're in, we're immersed in, we're polluted by it, we're surrounded by it. And there's the kingdom of heaven that we've been drawn to and invited to. This world, this kingdom of this world is driven by and deceived by Satan. And we can choose that, and some of us we do, and we fall into our sin and our old habits. And there's the kingdom of heaven to which we have been adopted. Peter identifies these two, the divine nature and the corruption of the world, as the reason we've already been given everything we need to live in this world, yet live in the kingdom world as well, and escape the corruption of the world. The reason we've been given everything we need is that we don't have to pray for that. No, we already have it. It's to participate in the divine nature. What does that mean? What is the one word in Scripture that would define the divine nature? God is love. We can participate in God's love. We can be an example of God's love to the people around us. We can share and express and teach people God's love. And we have the power to do that. We have the command, the authority, and the ability. We have all we need to participate fully in God's divine nature, that is love. And we already have everything we need to do that. It's another thing we don't have to pray for. We're already able, if we will, fully participate in the kingdom. And now he goes on to tell us how we can do that. He tells us how to make use of that we've already been given, how to open the package, if you like, and step forward to get on with it. Verse 5 says, for this reason, because we've been given everything we need, and because it's so we can participate in the divine nature and save ourselves from the corruption of the world. For this reason, take this route. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. These eight virtues, if you like, that we are to be working on. Yeah, there's work involved. There's intentional living involved. The work of salvation has been done, but we have to work out our salvation. That's why he says, Peter says, make every effort. How many of us can honestly say that each day we make every effort? Didn't think I'd get a show of hands. But there it is in Scripture, make every effort. We have to do these things. Sometimes we have a very passive view of our faith. Oh, I'm saved. Jesus paid it all at the cross. I'm good, I'm in. Scripture actually doesn't support that. At all. Because we're saved, we've got work to do. We've been called to a purpose. Make every effort. We start with faith. That's the starting ground. That's the entrance. That's the threshold. We step across that and we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to make every effort to add to our faith goodness. Be good. Do the right thing. How many of us do the right thing every day? Apart from that, how many of us do the right thing every day? And maybe sleep. current, or maybe not, maybe it isn't. But be good. It's simple. It's, the word's there. It's not complex. We believe in Christ, so let's be good. Let's just do the right thing. And to our goodness, have knowledge. You've got to know God. Which means you've got to spend time with Him, meet with Him, read His Word, study His Word, be in fellowship, join a small group, join the prayer group. Add to your knowledge of your faith, add to your knowledge of God by being in the Word. And to that knowledge, add self-control. Anybody here got that all worked out? No outbursts, no angry moments, no crankiness. Didn't get a show of hands there either. Self-control. Know who you are in Christ. Behave like that. Express that to the people, even the ones that rub you the wrong way. And Peter knows that that's tough to do, because then he says, add to your self-control, perseverance. We all have to persevere with circumstances, situations, and people, and the Spirit calls us to persevere. Persevere in all of these virtues. Just keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. You have the strength to do it. And to perseverance, godliness, a holiness about us, a piety as we live our lives. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. God is love. That's the divine nature. And if you like, these are eight stepping stones from faith, simple faith in Christ, through the effort that we make to attain to the divine nature, which is love. We have all we need, Peter says. He has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. For if you possess these qualities in increasing nature, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of us could say we've had some very dark days? We felt like we've gone through a desert. Where's God? Where's God in this? If we possess these qualities in increasing measure, which means we work at it, we can be kept from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of Christ. See, the big work has been done. The cross here is the church's symbol all around the world. The big work has done. The sins have been taken care of. And we're now called to work, to put our effort, to work our salvation. The work of salvation has been done and has been gifted to us, but our work in salvation continues as we press forward to Christ's likeness. To get the divine nature, that holiness in our lives. Peter says, we've already been given the resources. You've already had it. It's right there. Draw on it. Open the package. Don't sit there and cuddle it for 5 years. Open it and use the resources. Like the castaway character, Chuck Norrell, we have the package with all the resources that we could use, and we don't open it. Peter talks about these promises that we have. I want to list some of the promises that we've got, which might help us really understand that it's not up to us, it's up to us to make the effort. Peter, in 1 Peter 4, we read, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. These are enablers, these promises. We need to fall back on the promises of God so many times. Jeremiah 29:11, very familiar one. For I know I have the plans for you, that are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God loves you. Even when you think he's not present, he loves you and has plans for you for a future and for a hope. Matthew 11, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. What a promise. What a calming promise. When life gets tough, when the road gets rough, and time's just, nothing's giving me a break. Come to me. Take my yoke upon me. I take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants to walk with you. Isaiah 40. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Who needs renewed strength in their walk in faith? Okay. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We all want that, don't we? We all want that. Philippians 4. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. His abundance keeps outflowing towards us. We've just got to open our arms wider and wider and wider to receive it all. Romans 8. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you feel separated from God, when you feel he's not close, that is a deception of the devil playing on your heart and your mind. Scripture is very clear that nothing else, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. There's a powerful promise. Proverbs 1:33. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. What a comforting promise that is. John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What comforting words. We have these great promises from God, and this is just a sample of just a few. The whole scripture is filled with the promises of God. In Philippians, Paul writes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's work to do. We have to put in the effort. Daily effort. We have to get up every day, move into the Word immediately, into prayer, put on the armor, and take on the day. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Are you shining like a star yet? Anybody feel like they're shining like a star in the universe? It's right here in Scripture. It says that we are to shine like stars, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul's writing specifically to his congregation in Philippi. Are you shining like a star? Does your life stand out in stark contrast to those around you? Do people see you as different from the rest? That's our goal. This may sound prideful or arrogant, but isn't that what Scripture's calling us to? Just to diffuse the love of God to people around us. To have joy in our face. Not a scowl, not a grump, but to have a joy in our face. And people say, you're looking good today. Yeah, I'm fantastic today. It's just a wonderful day. God loves me, I love God, and it's going to be a great day. People go, wow, what faith. That's what these scripture texts are calling us to. starts. Make the effort. You must make every effort to add to your faith and keep growing. The problem is it's all in a box in there, it's not opened yet. You've got to do that. You've got to start really drawing on the Spirit, the power of the Spirit that's already in our hearts. As Nike says, just do it. Just do it. In 1 Peter, his first letter, he says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's the command. That's the invitation. Let's work at it. People who identify, have an accountability partner, something you want to share something with. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Open the package and just do it. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we're just intimidated, plainly intimidated. Forget that we have the most awesome power abiding within us, the power of the Holy Spirit, to live godly and upright and holy lives, to shine like stars, to be the face of God in our community, in our families, in our places of work and business, in our schools. Lord, I pray that each one of us will let the Holy Spirit just shine through. That we will take a back seat and we'll let the face of the Lord be shown through us, through our words, through our attitudes, through our deeds. In the song we read, we sang just now, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Did you really sing that? The old saying is, you know, if you want to walk on the water, you've got to step out of the boat. We've got to do that. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. Take me places, Lord, that I don't want to go, or I'm afraid of going. So I can test my faith in your strength. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Lord, empower each one of us, we pray, to live holy and godly lives, because you've already given us all we need to do that. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So we gather again at Christ's invitation. At the communion table. A practice, the ordinance that's practiced in various different forms, various different ways, but it's a common element throughout the Christian church around the world, where communities gather, small or large, they gather at the Lord's table at his invitation. It says in the carving, this do in remembrance of me. It's part of the scripture text. It's one of the two things that Jesus commanded. We gather at the table and that we make disciples and baptize them. The two ordinances we have in the Baptist tradition. All who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are welcome at this table. The scripture does warn us that we shouldn't come to it lightly or approach it routinely or irreverently. That we are to examine ourselves before we eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. So it's our practice at communion time just to take a few moments of quiet reflection before the Lord. Is there anything that needs to be confessed? I don't know about you, but for me, I'd be here a long time with things to confess. But we only have a few moments. So let's take them and be honest before our God. Confess our sins, ask for his forgiveness, and receive him at the table. First John 1:9 tells us that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you have confessed your sins today, you stand before the Lord righteous. And he now invites you, brothers and sisters, to come to this table. Can I have the servers come forward, please? And George will say the prayer for the elements. George?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you provided this ark of salvation, the ark on which we float above the waters, but in which we actually walk upon the waters because of Jesus. We ask you to enter our hearts, give us a will and a renewed spirit to take those exceeding precious promises that you've given us and to stand on them and to let others see the light that you want to shine through the world through us, not only in our homes, but in our jobs and in our neighborhoods and in this community. Thank you for Jesus, for his suffering, and for his triumphant resurrection, and enable us to live as you have led us by the power of your Spirit. We ask in his name. Amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night he was betrayed, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus was gathered with the disciples. They were having the Passover meal. And at the meal, Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples and says, "Take this and eat. This is my body given for you." Let us eat this bread together, remembering with grateful hearts that Christ died for us. Again, from Scripture, we learn that at the end of the supper, Jesus takes the cup. And again, he says to the disciples, "Take this and drink. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins." And now with thankful and grateful hearts, let us drink this cup together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for our sins.
Indeed, we do stand in the power of Christ. We have all the resources that we need. We have Christ in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct our paths. We can live holy and godly lives. So go in peace today, knowing that God walks with you and walks in you. Amen.